This week's parasha is one of the difficult and strange parashas in the Torah, the transition from Yitzchak to Yaakov and the whole mahalach of it, the relationship of the Avos to Esav. We'll try to see a sense of what the Nekuda was over here. The brachas of Yaakov, that was supposed to go to Yaakov, didn't come to him smoothly. In other words, until now, whatever nisyonos there were, whatever inyan there were, there was outside fights. Nimrod against Avram, there was Avimelech and Yitzchak, but you don't find that the etzim inyan that the person was supposed to do, he couldn't attain normally. The brachis, Yaakov had to fight for the brachis to get them, even though Bemis, this was supposed to be his. The inyan that's spoken about a lot is how come he had to do it through Sheker, Hepech is Mida. That's a different Nekuda. But I want to speak about Mura Etzim inyan, why things changed over here and he needed to get it in such a. Bechlal, why do you have to get it in the Oifin where you'd have to fight Esav for it? Yishmael opposed Yitzchak. Yishmael put obstacles away of Yitzchak. But it's very different than the Mahalach of Esav and Yaakov. Also, the idea that Yitzchak liked Esav, that Yitzchak was someone who was even if it says that he didn't see, but which the pasuk seems to indicate is the reason why he liked him or how the mistake got started, but the fact is that Yitzchak liked Esav, and it seems as if it's one thing when there's something good and you misled about something. It's another thing where it's rotten inside. Where in Esav do you have the Nekuda that Yitzchak would like? That doesn't seem, there's no redeeming value for him. It says he came from, he was always Nesada, he was always hunting. I mean, that's Vayi Esav Ish Edeh Tzayid Ish Sada. He was somebody who was like to have he was hunting and Yaakov sitting and learning. So whatever redeeming features he had, but it's still hard to understand what the Nekud is. The word Tzayid Befiv, we might just spoke about that, that Indian, but the Pashup Shara Tzayid Befiv is that he always bring him food from the hunt. Now, Beis Yitzchak wasn't lacking in food. There was plenty, the kitchens were stocked over there, and he was wealthy. He had tons of his own food. He didn't need Esav to bring him occasionally something from a hunt. So what's in the Pshuta Shel Mikra, Ketzayit Befiv, Rashi says the first pasuk, the first meaning of Ketzayit Befiv is not the Mirma, but he used to bring him stuff from the hunt to eat. And that's what Targum says, Rechei Mitzak Yos Esav, Arei Mitzay Dav Ochel. He would eat from the Tzayit that he would bring him. How do you understand it? Even in the pshutos of mikra, it's one thing if a person is hungry and Esav always finds food to eat. Good. So you say Esav is the mashbil cholas mitzrayim. He kind of brings in food and where there's no food. Yitzchak was very wealthy. He had plenty of food on his own. And what was the special inyan of having Esav's of having the food from Esav? Also, when he went for the brachas, it said he asked him. V'ata sona, he told him, "I want sona kelecha, take your weapons, tell yucha v'kashtecha, take your bows and arrows, sharpen your knife." He told him, "Take your sword." So fully armed, he says to take sona kelecha. Is Rashi says is the sakin that he was shechting. Tel Yecha is the sword which usually hangs. Kashcha is the bow. You know, it's arm yourself to the teeth. Vitzei asada vitzuli tzayit, and go out and capture me. Vaseli matam kasher hafti. Lechura, you see that Yaakov, Rivka opened up the kitchen door and the pantry and took out two gedir izim. And it was fine, and it was good enough, and Yitzchak liked it. So, where in the world did he Why did he need, like, what was the delicacy of the Tzur Litzayit? He's telling him, I mean, his wife Rivka, who's getting ksuba from him, has shteg de'izim. Obviously, it's less than what he has. He's giving her tukdis, and so he has of his own. And that, Baruch Hashem, is a good enough meal. And he's coming and he's telling him, I want you especially to go out and to hunt and to capture me something. Take your knife, your sword, your bow and arrow, and go and bring it to me. So it's a davar pella. Also, Balabatish, I don't know, I'm not familiar, but when Yaakov brought him the food, he was very worried that Yitzchak would tap him and see that it's not Esav. Fine. But what about the food? He told him to bring him a wild animal, venison. He brought him steak de'izim. I'm not sure if the taste is the same. It's not the same. I assume there's a difference in taste. I mean, every Baal Chai tastes differently. And if Yitzchok wanted bedavka that, he would taste it and say, what is this? This is lamb chops. It's not deer meat. I mean, if he was so worried about that, what about this? Those are the inyanim, and you see the word tzayit again. In other words, he told them, go out v'tzurli tzayit. Go out and bring me tzayit. So to understand the inyanim here, we'll have to understand a little bit about Yitzchak's midah, and understand the midah of Yitzchak in its oimek a little bit, and we'll see what the inyan is. The Zohar says that the reason why Yitzchak liked Esav so much is because every min likes bar mine. Everyone likes someone who is like them. Likes attract. Birds of a feather flock together. People who have things in common tend to gravitate towards each other. And that's why there was a special ava, because it was min b'mine. The midah of Yitzchak and the midah of Esav were more similar than the midah of Yitzchak and the midah of Yaakov. The midah of Yitzchak was a midah of Gvura, the midah of Esav was a midah of Gvura, and b'mela together they had something in common, and that's why he liked him a lot. Let's try to understand what that means. What does it mean, the midah of Gvura? L'chura for us, it's a metaphor. Somebody's a big tzaddik, and he's a gibber and avodas Hashem. Yitzchak Avinu's gevura and Esav's gevura, which is the fact that he could wallop people, kill them. I mean, what's the common denominator? I mean, we call them gevura, but it's a metaphor. It's I mean, one is somebody that's physically powerful and can kill people and take things, and one is somebody that has a lot of ruchnius. I mean, metaphorically, we call him a great hero of the spirit, but it means almost two separate things. It's almost the opposite. So in what sense do we say that it was the same midah? Esav had the same midah, and b'mela, he could have, he could have won and so on. So let's understand the nekuda of this midah of gevur that we're talking about. This Willing to Bob Basra, 2 years ago, there was when people are arguing over property, one of the ways to resolve it is called Olm Gava. One of the ways to resolve conflicts is called Olm Gava, which means they keep fighting over it until one side wins. Some sheets understand that it's just a laissez-faire. Since Bezin doesn't know what to do, we have no right to intervene. That's one way. The Rush, a very famous Rush, says that it's actually a way of resolving it. And what's fair about it is that the person who it really is his is going to fight stronger, both with Rayas and Din and physically maybe, and until he'll win. That's the way the Rosh explains a very famous Rosh. I want to try to explain that Nekuda and what that means, he'll fight more and so on. Let's take something like a stone. So there is a categorization of what is called a stronger stone than the other. There's a system of numbers where you rub two stones against each other. Whichever one leaves a mark on the other is stronger. And diamonds are the toughest ones, and there's a whole hierarchy. Always, whenever you'll take a limestone and rub it with a diamond, the diamond will make a mark on the limestone. That is the Metzias La'Omead. There's no surprises. From the whole thing, from A to Z, there's no surprises. In a person, there are surprises. The female of a species is usually weaker than the male, and the male will usually win. If the female is protecting her young, it will be extraordinary. It will be ferocious, and will drive away things that are much stronger than itself. And the reason is as follows. When you have two inanimate things crushing against each other, the only thing that determines who wins, who's stronger, is the one that is harder, tougher. A person's fight consists of his abilities and his koach harotzen, or an expression of his chiyus. Every person has a desire to be, to live. That is the burning inner desire of a person. It's a reason why I'll shy away from danger. If something is dangerous, I'm going to go the other way because it's because I want to live. If I need something for a livelihood, I am going to push for it. The more desperate I am for it, meaning the more I sense that my koach achias is threatened, the more desperately I will push for it. So just like a steel is stronger than wood, but when the steel is delivered at 1 mile per hour and the wood is delivered at 25 miles per hour, it's a whole different ball game. When the koach achias of the person, when the rutzen hachaim of the person is intensified, when the koach harotzen of the person is intensified, then what he does becomes much more powerful. When you take a female animal and you're threatening its, so when you're not threatening its cubs, it's just a question of me against it. Then the strength is of one level. When it's protecting its young, the teva is that it puts its entire chiyus into it, both in terms of how strongly it will push and how risk it's willing to take, because life is worth its fate if it lost its young. That will determine the strength of its position. That's how strongly. So the male who's coming to take away her cub and eat it or whatever it is, is a stronger being, but the amount of drive, the amount of rutzen in it is of a lower dagger. The female might be weaker, but her rutzen is infinitely greater than the rutzen of that male animal, and the male, it's going to be stronger. So in a very deep sense, the koach hachius of the person, or call it differently, the koach harotzen of the person, the will of the person and the sense of life in a person, is what determines the midah of gvura in a person. A gibbor is not a chazak. A chazak is a strong person, a person with big muscles and so on and so forth. A gibbor is somebody who is a person who has pushed much harder and much further than the other person. Even though he might be less objectively, his muscles might be smaller, he might be shorter, he might have less muscle power, but he has a lot more drive, and that determines the midas ha-gvura. The muscle to gvura is a fire that's raging, is fire. In other words, Gavriel is the Malach of Eish, because fire has in itself a force that's being released. How hot the fire is, how strong it is, doesn't depend on how big the fuel is. It depends a little bit on how big the fuel is. It depends what fuel it is, how much fire is pent up, how much energy is pent up in that fuel. That's the midah of Gvura. In other words, it is the Ratzon HaChayim. It is the Ratzon and the Chayim of the thing itself. It's the midah of wanting. It's the midah of life itself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave into beings. We find in Tanakh numerous times a Gibor Milchama is lauded. It's like the word Gibor going to Milchama and Cherev and all these things are very much, it's a world. The world of Milchama is not simply, war was not simply a determination of which side is stronger in an objective way, listen, they've got more tanks, they have more manpower, they have better weapons. More than that, war was seen as a struggle of the will to live, to exist. How much willpower is there in each one? How much will and how much life does each one have? And that usually determined the battle. So a gibor in its description is someone that has that drive of rutzen and chias that is powerful. Understand, like everything else, it can become from bad and so on. Man was commanded in the world, redu ha'aretz v'kivshuha, conquer the world, the rule over the world and conquer it. In other words, man has a duty to impose his koach achias on the bria, to subordinate the bria to him, to manage it very wisely. But it requires my desire to be should be stronger than the tigers and the lions and the cow and the horse. I should be the one to overcome it. In the matzah that a person is, the gevura cannot come into play unless there's a threat to it. In other words, if no one is threatening me, then there is no way to express that desire of existence, that desire to be. That is only brought out when there is something to fight against. Gevura requires an obstacle to appear. And therefore, if there's no world to conquer, there's no gibor. If there's no milchama, there's no gibor. Gibor is present, manifests itself. The intensity of my life force is meaningful only when weighed against some other life force that's threatening it. That is the meat of gevura. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria an extraordinary midah. Let me explain the oimek here. It's not the pshat that it's the midah of fighting off the enemy, but rather it's the midah of the strength of my existence. My existence is as strong as my koach haratzon is and my koach achias. I can test it only if it's coming up against something else. But it's really a measure of my koach, of wanting it, and my chius itself. The midah of Avraham Avinu was a midah of chesed. To be mashpia on people, to do good. He established the aleph, which is the tzura of what Klal Yisrael is. The tzura of the Adam Hameule, the tzura of the person who is Betzelem Elokim, is the Isha Chesed. and that is and that's the midah of Avram. So Avram definitely put into place the midah of what it is. The question now is, what is the value of that midah? How real is that midah? Somebody once asked a big Rav, if we have the emes and the reform, whoever was, I don't remember the prisoner, have the sheker, why doesn't the emes win over the sheker? And he answered, you're right, we have the emes with us, but we approach it with sheker. We do the emes, we establish the emes with sheker, and they're establishing the sheker with emes, meaning they're really working hard to establish themselves, and we're lazy about it. That was the sense of it. They really working hard at establishing the sheker, while we're kind of easily establishing the, you know, we're calmly establishing the emes. So the midah, the next question is, now that I've seen a midah of something divine in the Bria, I've seen the Isha Chesed, I've seen Toiv, how powerful is Toiv? How real is Toiv? Is it only a fair weather phenomena when a person, like by Ace, by Eov, when the Sultan told the Kodesh Baruch, you know, you gave him everything, he's got everything, so religion is also nice. You know, it's nice when everything's okay, you're doing this also. But test it and see where is it? What is it all about? Push it. The question now is, how strong is this in the Koach HaRatzon? Avram Avinu dug wells. They plishtim stuffed it. Yitzchak's was to keep on digging it, to keep opening it again and again. Because the question is, how strong is it? If I tell a person to put his hand down, let's say, or whatever it is, or hold his hand here or there, he may or may not do it. But if you force him, he'll do it. If I tell a person not to breathe, or if I try to gag, to put something on his nose, on his mouth, he will with a ferocious intensity struggle out of it, because that's his chias. The hand here or there might be more comfortable, but it's not his chias. And b'meila, the strength of how much he will try to resist me is only a certain amount. But when I try to choke the person, then he thrashes about hysterically, because that's his chiyus. How much fight do you approach it with? How much koach chiyus lies in it? So Yitzchak Avinu took over the Midas HaGevura, and he had to keep opening up the barriers no matter how many times they were nista. That was his midah. Esav yashin that midah. Esav lived off struggle, because struggle brings out the chiyus in a person. An animal in Chazal and in the Psukim, it's funny that the animal kingdom is divided into two. Those animals that are domesticated and animals that are not domesticated. One is called behemah, which is a low term. It signifies almost, it's synonymous almost to meat. And chaya is from Lashon Chiyus. Vayodim lenefesh chaya, Adam is called chaya. The animal that's wild is called a chaya. Because it has chiyus, it doesn't accept domestication. It will not stand for being quietly in a pasture and milling around waiting to be shechted. It has in itself drive, and that's called a chaya. And it has its own halachas, because it's two different kinds of animals. From the Torah perspective, the deer and the cow are very different types of animals, because this is an animal that has no sense of chiyus. It's a walking stake, and this is something that Betzim has a chiyus in it. And when a person eats tzayit, when a person eats behemah meat, it's a chumristic type of inyan. It's big, it's fat, it has chalev, it gets cut, and you know he slices it and eats it. That's what the person is doing. He has in himself it's a gashmistic activity. When a person has to capture a chaya, the person is struggling with the will to live of another being. And the tzayit takes place because my koach haratzon is stronger than that koach haratzon. That's the thrill in the hunt, is a thrill of two living beings whose drive to live and be is going to be stronger. That's the ultimate thrill in a hunt. So the koach achius that lies in a chaya makes the tzayit a tzayit. The taste in a panemistic way is, what do I taste in Sachila? In the Achila of Gediye Izim, I taste the tam of meat. In a Tzayed, I taste the tam of a Izgabrus of a Koach Achiyus, of the Ratzon that I pursued, outwitted, pressed on, didn't tire, and got something. That was the meat of Esav. Yaakov sat in his place, and there was no conquest, l'chura. He was each time a shoholim. He sat in his place. There was no conquest. Esau went out. Every time you go out, you're going into enemy turf. He was in the Sada. He was looking for the chayas, and he was tzayit. Kitzayit befiv meant he fed Yitzchak Avinu the taste of that tzayit, which is the midah of Yitzchak. The taste of his gabrus of koach achius, that a person had to draw out of his nefesh more of a koach achius, a stronger koach achius. That was the unique taste of the tzayit befiv. So Yitzchak had a certain empathy for the mid of Esav because it was in line with the mid of Yitzchak. Wasn't afraid of being fooled by the with the tam of the Gdeizim, and we asked how come he couldn't detect the difference. The teretz is because the Gdi Izim that Yaakov Avinu brought to Yitzchak was also Aydei Tzayit. It was also through a struggle. It was because Yaakov had made a determination that the brachas are going to be mine no matter what. I am the one that needs to have the brachas, and I'm the one that's going to have it. So he had a tam tzayit befiv. He tasted the tam of that tzayit because it came about through tzayit. That's why he was there. It was in the danger of being annihilated by Yitzchak's curse, chas v'shalom, and that's where he came by. So there was the tam of tzayit there also. Let's understand the where it's going from and where it's coming from. Let's understand a little bit. What did Yaakov do? What was the struggle? What did Yaakov do? Where was it coming to, and so on? Esav's mida was gibor taker. Esav's mida was the koach of chius, but it wasn't something that it was there. Not to bring out the toiv of the person. It wasn't the gevura inside the mid of chesed. It was naked gevura that only was the koach achius of the person's own basav adam. In other words, the mid of gevura itself is neither a good nor a bad midah. It depends what is that koach achius doing. If I fight with somebody else over a ball, over whose bat or whose ball it is, and I fight with tremendous chiyus, with a tremendous isgabas of chiyus, so is that admirable? It's not, because it shows that my my athletic sense has a tremendous sense of chiyus. That's all. The bat and the ball, I'm going to give it all I have to get hold of the bat and the ball. So the gevura is a koach of chiyus, but it depends what it's trying to be mechaya. And if it's being mechaya something else, then it's not good. The toldus of Avraham is Yitzchak. In other words, the midah of Yitzchak was a midah that was meant to be the life force in the Avraham. It says that in the around the Merkava you have four animals. The one on the right, which symbolizes the midah of Chesed, is Aryeh, Pnei Aryeh. It's a lion, because a lion is. A lion, l'chor, is a simon of strength. So why is it midas haChesed? So it's written that it's the Chesed b'his gabrus. What that means is Chesed itself comes in different qualities. The question is the intensity with which it comes. In other words, it's not Chesed needs to have a fire under it. If it's a lackadaisical Chesed, it's not real Chesed. So Esav took the midah of Gevura, but divorced it from the midah of Chesed, and it became a horrendous midah. I mean, from Esav it's not the Lahavdol. The Nazi ideology was that strength is great and noble, and the victory is to strength. And that's why, because strength is victorious, that's why the will to live and the will to conquer and the will to crush everything is the noblest feature of a human being. It's Esav. That's Esav's midah perfectly. It's taking that and divorcing it from where it's supposed to be. The midah, the way we understand, Yaakov was the one that perfected the midah of it took the brachas and used them correctly. The midah was that he said, you've got to pursue what's good and right with all the desperation and chiyus of Esav. You've got to take it and to push it. What you're pushing is Avram. How you're pushing is with Yitzchak's midah, which Esav took and made a sham out of it. So it's just like when you have a power drill, you have the bit and you have the engine, you have the drill. The drill needs to be very powerful, the bit needs to fit the mission. It needs to fit what it is that you're drilling. So the brachas had to come through a struggle, because the struggle for the brachas, how much did it mean to Yaakov to have the Bechira? And how much did it mean to Esav? Esav was ready to sell it for Nezir Adashim because it didn't mean so much to him. So it's Yaakov's. Yaakov was willing to lose both Olamos in the attempt to get the brachas, because the brachas were his neshama depended on the brachas. This is what he was needed to do in the world. He was willing to give it everything, even if it means being killed. That's why the brachas went to him. I'd like to take it into tchum. This is Ma'isav Esum Lebanim, and it's something that is part and parcel of our metzias. Again, we always look at nesyonis as HaKadosh Baruch Hu throwing something in the way to test us, to give us extra schar, and so on. We don't understand how much the midah of Gevura Dafka touches on what the person's koach hachius is. If the person's koach haratzen, the person's koach haratzen and koach hachius find themselves only when it's struggling against something. And more than anything else, if you struggle against people, if there's somebody trying to dissuade you and you're struggling to do right, So then in that battle, what will reveal itself is the koach hachius and the koach haratzon that you possess. The Shlomo HaMelech talks about Avram. Depending on how strong you are, that is what we can do with you. Strength is not, the strength we're talking about is not a measure of external factors. How well you can speak, how well you can manage on your own. All of those are chozek. They're not gevura. This is the tools. The question of gevura is how much do I really have going in it? How much is this what I am? How desperate am I for it? That is what determines the midah of the person's gevura. The brachas that Klal Yisrael's brachas had to be gotten in a life and death struggle. Yaakov, when he walked in, said, Yitzchak was Moser Nefesh, his guf. I'm being Moser Nefesh Ma'olam Haba. I'm walking in to get those brachas with the possibility, with the real chance that my father catches on and he gives me a klala for both worlds. I'm a gone in every way possible. Yaakov's desire for what was good was what determined his getting the brachas. At the end of the day, the purpose is to reveal the koach achius of a person. And the koach achius is dafka, measured by his gabras. So when a person has to struggle, a person has to know, so both things are important to know. The first thing is that for people who tend to be contentious people and tend, everything has to be, and they never let go and never give up, that's, if it's not for what's right, that's Esav's Midah. The fact that there are people that even giving in on a nickel is for them Kriyas Yamsuf. It's like, but it's mine, and I'm going to fight it all the way, and I'm going to take it to court, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there, and Beron Haver, same thing. And I'm a man of principle. It's going to be that way. That is Esav's Midah. It's unbridled koach hachayim, unbridled drive to exert your will for no good purpose. Basically what you're saying is, I am, and everything about me has to exist, and my existence is paramount in this world, and I don't care. In a lot of these fights, you'll find that the person who wins, in whether it's in a business deal or whatever, is the person that doesn't care to lose. He'd rather not talk to anybody than not to have his point of view accepted. So that person, that's the midah of Esav. It's kol kuloi osuk. It says tzod noshim etachas baleim u'ma'an oisam. That means everybody. Shmuel had the pleasure of Arias. That was his pleasure. He Arias. Esav lived off taking from other people because he had to exert his sense of self in the most selfish way possible. And b'meila, that's a terrible midah in the way it manifests itself. But on the other hand, the person whose drive for ruchnius stops at the minute that he has to struggle for it, at the minute that he has to push, then it's got no chias to it. It's like the rock. If the rock that comes against me is stronger, I move aside. If I'm stronger, I go. That's a metzias. It has nothing to do with me as a person. The brachas of Yaakov, the brachas that calls of the V'yitin Lecha, was given to the one who Avram Avinu was the tzura and the dmus, and Yitzchak was the engine that powered it. He would take the koyach of his gabrus, and for right, and for tov, and for chesed, he would give everything that he had. He would push until everything, because this is Metzias, with the same desperation that a person pushes to get himself out of a mass of sakanas nefashis, the person pushes to get himself into a matzav that's toiv, that's Avram's toiv. The bracha nitzchus of Klal Yisrael is that Klal Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu succeeded in taking both those midas. He pursued the mid of Avram, the Berchus Yitzchak, the Eshet HaMaholim, with the koach hatzayed and the koach of chius that Yitzchak had. When he combined both, when he went in wearing the big day Esav, that's when he brought his tzayet. He didn't have to go into the field to capture tzayet. In the Beis Medrash, he found tzayet, the piece that he had to struggle with, the piece of meat that he had to struggle against Esav and against Shtei Olamos. That was his tzayet. And when a person approaches, When a person learns to properly balance his midas, and to take the midah of what's good and right as the thing that's worth fighting for, and other stuff is not worth fighting for, and the things that are good and right are not just good and right, but they're worth struggling and not giving up. It doesn't have to be nasty. It doesn't have to be brutal. It has to be relentless. It has to be, you keep going. As long as a person has a drop of life in him, he will struggle to live. The day, lo aleinu, when you see cholim, you see there comes a point when they just seem, the desire to live seems to have sapped out of them. If a person's godlessness is measured both by the thing that he's pushing and how much chiyus, how strong is that chiyus that he puts into that begvura. Chams.